You're welcome to church. Can you say hello to somebody by your side? You're welcome again. Hallelujah. We're already getting blessed. And we'll be blessed more today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Congratulations. God bless your home again and again. You've started well, you continue well in the name of Jesus. Genesis chapter 26. Genesis 26, I read from verse 1. There was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. He obeyed God. And the men of the place asked about his wife. And he said, "She's my sister." For he was afraid to say, "She's my wife." Because he thought, "Lest the men of the place kill me for Rebekah, because she's beautiful to behold." That was Isaac's conclusion about his wife, that his wife was beautiful. Now it came to pass, verse 8, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked through a window and saw, and there was Isaac showing endearment to Rebekah, his wife. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Quite obviously she's your wife. So how could you say she's my sister?" Isaac said to him, "Because I said, lest I die on account of her." And on and on. Can we just take a look at, you know, our lives again this morning? In this present situation, the circumstances going on in our nation, in our country, all the problems here and there, they affect us. One way or the other. They affect men. One way or the other. The famine affected Isaac so much that he thought of leaving the land. You know, his father went through that same problem. And he left. He left and he went back. And Isaac was about taking the same decision. But God said, "Stay here. Live here. I'm going to prosper you." And God gave him so many promises. But for the promise of God to come to pass in our lives, for us to be able to experience what he has said, we must create enabling environments. Enabling environments. And one of the enabling environments, one of the things that we need to do for us to be able to experience the promises of God, the word of God, is to have healthy marriage, healthy home. And healthy home, a good marriage, an improving marriage, a working marriage is essential if you are a married person. If you're a single person, you and God, and it's just between you and God. And sometimes it can even be less trouble in a way, because it's just between you and God, no other person. But if you are married, that means two of you and God, and you need to be able to work with that person, with your spouse, in such a way that both of you can inherit and enjoy the promises of God. Bible says you are both heirs of the promise of God in 1 Peter chapter 3. You are joint heirs of the promises of God. So this morning, let's just calm down. I'm not talking about too serious things. Let's just calm down and talk about one of the things that we need to create healthy marriage. If you look take, if you cast your mind back to what we read, Isaac was in that land, and he came, he could see that my wife is beautiful. You know, in that land, they could take his wife. So he said, she's my sister. But is you can only, you can't go too far living with your wife as if she's your sister. And one of the things that we need to know and practice, especially for those of us that got saved and walked with God before we got married, that sister is not longer a sister after marriage. Hello. And that brother is no longer what? A brother. He's now your husband. I remember we went to Abuja years back, and we had a program. And a brother came, a minister of God came from the UK, and he said one of the problems that they were facing with newly married or married people is the fact that they had lived like brothers and sisters before marriage. And after marriage, they want to continue living like brothers and sisters. If you don't understand what I'm saying, I'll break it. You know, before you get married, you heard so much about staying away, keep yourself from your husband. Fornication is a sin before God. You don't visit, and it still stands for any single person in the house. Cohabiting, living together before you get married is not God's intention. Having sex before marriage and living like married people before you are actually married is no go area. It's a sin as far as God is concerned. But the problem is, some of us heard that so much before we got married, and now we are married, and we are still saying, bro, sis. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, you are brothers and sisters in Christ, but now you have stepped into the office of being a husband and of being a wife. And that changes everything. And one of the things that will help you to have a healthy marriage is to be able to live like husband and wife, not brothers and sisters. Yes, you are brothers. Yes, you are still brothers and sisters. But you have hopped your game. You have gone beyond the level of no sex before marriage. And it's just, it's funny. Every single person wants to live as if they are married before they are married. And after marriage, every married person wants to live as if they are single. Bible says Isaac said about his wife, she's beautiful. I don't know how many years after they had been married. Can you say that about your wife? Do you still see your wife beautiful, or you have gotten so used to that face? And he's like, I'm going to step on toes. Eh? And I will stay there as long as I hold microphone. 30 minutes. He said, my wife is beautiful. That means he was looking. When last did you look into the face of your wife? To assess, this babe that I married how many years ago? 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 2 years ago, she's still beautiful. Are you still captivated by the look of your wife? Are you still captivated? Do you still see? Of course, some changes might have occurred. Hello. Especially if your marriage has been more than 10 years, 15 years, changes that happen to your body, maybe pimples as a result of pregnancy, first one, before first one could clear, second one. And if you're not careful, you lose that excitement about your wife. Something brought both of you together. We don't emphasize so much of chemistry first. We talk about character, we talk about competence, and so many other things. But one of the things that makes marriage work and to keep working is the chemistry, the affection, the excitement, the captivation. That's, oh, when I see my spouse, I still love that person that I saw, that I chose out of many. It's essential to have a healthy marriage. Don't get too used to yourself that you lose that touch. It's something that you have to work on again and again. Otherwise, it just becomes like living together. You're just living together. You are just paying bills together. You are just running things together. And such men or such ladies, if anything happens in the places of work or in the society, it's going to be another story entirely. Isaac said, I don't want my wife to be taken away from me. I don't want her snatched. So the Bible says in verse 8 that something happened to both of them. That the king looked, you know, Senior Pastor just said this morning that he has a window where he sees everybody coming to church. King of Philistines, he had a window close to Abraham's house, Isaac's house. And he saw something that he was not supposed to see. And what did he see? He saw both of them showing affection to each other, which was beyond brothers and sisters. And that's what we are looking at this morning. Endearment in marriage is one of the things that would cause both of you to work together to inherit the promises of God. Endearment, affection, romance in marriage is like the oil in the engine. Men, you use cars. When you check your oil and it's becoming dark brown, what do you do? You know, it has to be changed. Because if you don't change it, then it's going to affect the running of that engine. And you don't want to go and spend money on what you should not spend money on. So you quickly change it. That's the same way when affection, when romance, when endearment is not what it's supposed to be in our marriages, then it's not going to work well. You have a lot of friction. The same way you have friction in engines of vehicles or whatever that needs to be oiled. The friction, it just means that it is only engine that is grinding another engine. And before you know it, wear and tear will break that machine down. So for us to have a smooth running home where there is peace, where there is joy, where we can inherit the promises of God and get through this famine and know where God is taking us to, we need to keep this running in our homes. Praise God. So when we're talking about endearment, we're talking about love, affection, showing it, not thinking it, not imagining it, but actually going to every length to show. It has to do with deliberate choices that we make every day. Every day. You know, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I think verse 9. Ecclesiastes 4, 9. He said, two are better than one. Why? Because they have a good reward for their what? Labor. One of the labors of a good marriage is showing affection, endearment to your spouse. It's not something that comes up by itself. It's not something that will just be done.
It's not something that will just happen. It's something that you have to do deliberately. It's something that you have to work on. It's something that you have to practice. But it says it has good reward. Good reward. When you show endearment, when you show affection, when there's romance in the home, it shows, it brings a number of reward. It prevents friction. It prevents a lot of friction. You know, one of the reasons why when we have misunderstanding, when we have issues, when you offend your spouse or your spouse offends you, and it takes so long a time to sort it out, most of the time, there has been a lack of affection in that home. There has been a deficit of affection, of romance in the house. So it takes so long. But in a house, in a marriage, where there's so much affection, endearment that you show to each other, when things happen, you quickly sort it out. It quickly gets sorted because there's abundance of good feelings towards each other. That's what we're talking about this morning. There's abundance of that. So when anything happens and when it says, oh, I'm sorry, you quickly take that. But when there's deficit, when last did you hear I love you? When last did you hug? When last did you have sex? When last did you? Then it becomes something else. And a small trouble becomes so big because there's deficit of emotional connection in that home. God is going to help us in the name of Jesus. Titus chapter 2. We will follow Bible this morning. Against perceived and general opinions. In Titus chapter 2, one of the things that Paul asked Titus to teach, to enforce, this is one of those things. If you read verse 1, it says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. So I'm teaching sound doctrine this morning. And let's take a look at verse 3. It says, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Verse 4. That they admonish, that is encourage, teach the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be keepers, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. One of the things that Titus was instructed to teach is that wives should love their husbands. And the word love there is means to show affection to their husbands. I know the popular opinion is that it is a man that should show affection. It is a man that should bring flowers, Western culture. It is a man that should buy gifts. It is a man that should, you know, be all over you. It is the man that should be dancing. He has danced around you before he got you. And that's why I tell singles, if he doesn't dance around you before he gets you, forget it. Because it will be your turn to be dancing around him. So let him do all his dancing. You know, when a guy is after a lady, they go to so many lengths. I can't remember how many poems I got when I was dating. I can't remember. It was all kinds of, my husband was gifted. And that gift evaporated. Praise God. That's part of their nature. They go after. But Bible says, and for a number of years, I was fighting that. Hey, you used to write poems. He still does once in a while. He will send SMS, not poems now. He doesn't write now, but he will write, send text message and all of that. But when we got married, I used to feel that, you used to. And he did not change anything. With all my talking, until I began to find out that Bible says, I am the one to show affection now. It doesn't mean that a man does not show affection. And actually, the kind of love in Ephesians chapter 5 that God has husbands to show is a dedicated agape that I'm committed to you. I will take care of you. I will feed you. I will do anything for you just to make you happy and not dancing around you. Praise God. They could dance once in a while, they dance. He still dances. But there's a turning around. That's the wife. I was reading Proverbs chapter 5. And you find Solomon warning his son against immoral women. It's unlike what we think today, that it is only men that are chasing women. Women are chasing men, I hope you know that prostitution is the longest profession. You don't know when women will go after men. And how do they go after them? Look at Proverbs chapter 5. One of the ways they go after them. It says, my son, verse 1, pay attention to my wisdom, lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. The lips and mouth. Can we learn from immoral woman this morning? She is doing it to get the man for his own gain. But you as a wife doing it to encourage your husband and to keep the oil of your marriage running so that there'll be less friction. He said that woman, she uses a mouth. The lips of an immoral woman, it drips like honey. Have you ever seen honey? Honey is sweet. Honey is good. He said, our lips are like that. And that's one of the ways of showing affection to your husband is through your mouth. Through your mouth. What do you say to your husband? Not when he's good. Constantly. All the time. What words come out of your mouth to show that, you are still the one I chose 5 years ago, and I still choose you. What words? That's endearment. That's filioing your husband. That's showing endearment to your husband. Don't mind the macho look. Hello. There's a masculine outlook of a man that shows as if he's got it all made. He doesn't need such words. He's good. He knows what he's doing. And he got everything together. Deep inside every man is that yearning to hear the wife say some sweet words, some loving words, some encouraging words. So don't keep your mouth shut. Yes, you are not an immoral woman, but you can learn from the immoral woman. And her mouth is smoother than honey. Knowing how to choose words, how to use words in a way. And that's part of your femininity as a woman. The Western world wants to rob you of that. Makes you become a man. You are not a man.
You are not competing with your husband. You are a woman. You are a woman, and God made you differently. And one of the ways that God wants you to function is to use your mouth properly in your marriage. To say what to your husband that will make his head to swell and swell and swell and swell. That's what the immoral woman does. That's what those girls outside will do. Even though by the time they become wives, they also stop. And that's why you cannot be a fool, a man. Men, you don't be a fool. That lady that is saying sweet words to you, that is always checking up on you, by the time you are married, it will stop. Because she will have captured you. Praise God. But don't give in. You, that you are the wife, the rightful owner of that man, that can show endearment to that man, begin to do it. And don't stop doing it. Because he's always hurting me. You can show endearment so much that those hurts will reduce. We think naturally we show affection, we show romance and all of that when things are going on well, when it's good, when it's, even when it's not. Still use your mouth. Show endearment. Touch yourself. Touch his head. Touch his back. Yes, you two, you are rushing out to work. Do you take a look at your husband before he goes out? And say, my husband is looking the best. You are so good this morning. That's going to ring in his head all day. That my wife said, even when his boss start to abuse him and say all kinds of things, or his customers start to mess up, he remembers my wife said, I am the best. That's essential in this day and age. So filial your husband. Let me tell somebody, a lady around you, filial your husband. Show affection. Show affection. Show affection. You think that he knows that I know I love him now. He knows that I'm always, he wants to hear it again. The same way you too, you want to hear it again. Praise the Lord. And of course, men are not left out. Men are not left out of showing endearment, showing romance. Most of the time we say African men, they are not romantic. But I used to say that too. When we were cutting, my husband was so holy that he would not hold a sister's hand in the public. Do you understand what I'm saying? He was a holy man of God. You say, no. No. But few men are not like that. But over the years, my husband cannot only hold my hands. He can carry me. He can hug me. He can do so many things in the public. Because practice makes perfect. The way we make mistakes as ladies is to feel that I'm doing it towards him. He's not reciprocating, so I stop. Keep doing it. One of these days, it will dawn on him that, this woman that is showing, is not part of their nature, but they can learn it. So let's teach them and don't stop. Hello. You will see me after my husband's finished preaching. He sits down there. I rub his back. Good job. Thank you. That's the way it's supposed to be. And men too. You come home, show endearment to your wife. You have both gone to work. She's back at home, doing one thing or the other to make things work. Show endearment. Say good words. Hug her. Touch her. These are simple things that you think that, do we need to talk about this in church? But we find out that people don't do it. You just say, I've been out all day. And the oil is getting black. And there will be friction very soon. Practical ways. I talked about caressing. Touching your husband. Touching your wife. That's caressing. Touch yourself. Touch yourself. Touch yourself. One of the things that makes women
to not like sex. We are adults. Can we be bold? Can we talk? One of the reasons why women sometimes, they don't enjoy sex and they don't want it. They're always having a headache every night. It's because there has not been affection during the day. Hello. Someone says, if you want to have sex in the night starts in the morning. It starts when? Answer me now. Men are not talking now. Sex starts when? Not at night. Not 9 p.m. when you're about to put off the lights. And suddenly you start to pull her. And she pulls back. And you think that what's wrong with this woman? Because you have not paved the way for that. Do you check up on yourself during the day as husband and wife? Do you check up? One time I traveled. Somebody traveled with me. And every 10 kilometers, my husband will call. She said, is this what you both do? I said, that's what we do. We have cultivated that. She went home to fight her husband. I said, you don't need to fight your husband. Start to practice it. We check up on ourselves. If I travel, he will be the one to call me. By the time I get to Okemoson, my husband has called. Where are you? Okay, I just said I should check up on you. Thank you. Love you. By the time I get to Kobakpe, by the time I'm getting to interchange, in fact, once in a while, when I don't hear him call, I know that something has gotten his attention or something. So, what, that's once in a while. I would say, bury me. I just left the house. But it has become part of way of showing affection to each other. Cultivate that. So you only go in the morning and come back in the day. Nothing. Send text. Even if you can't call, send text message. There, I just said I should check up on you. How's your day going? That's showing something. That's sending some message to your husband. And that's preparing yourself for the night life. Not at Okemoson or at Sibara. Night life in your house. I don't want to say what they call it. Going to Jerusalem. It's not Jerusalem anything. It is night life. Praise God. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. You may not have all the dollars. You have your spouse. You have God, you have your spouse. There may be deadlines. Children are going to resume in school tomorrow. You are wondering how. You have God, you have your spouse. Ecclesiastes 9:9. It says, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun. That is your portion in life. Say, live joyfully. Joyfully, man. Be joyful at home. Oh. Don't carry Nigeria on your head. Don't carry Nigeria on your head. Yoruba will say, Orun Majabo. It's not a matter of, it's not, you are not the only one. Don't carry Nigeria. One day, I think before they appointed the APC chairman, I was just getting upset. I said, you mean this man with everything? My husband just said, yeah, he's not going to become the chairman of your life. He's becoming chairman of APC. Waiting concern you. And you know, that word just set me free that, no. So don't carry all the problem. You have somebody that you can transfer the problem to, is your Father God. You just come into the house after a long day. You are tired. Even looking, children meeting you by the door, they know daddy is tired. They know daddy doesn't want to talk. Not to talk about your, you feel morose. You look morose. You are not, no joking, no jesting in the house. Nobody can. You are not the lion of the tribe of. You are the husband. Look cheerful. Do you know when there are issues in the house and you as the man
in the house. You don't take it to heart. You are not depressed about it. It has a way of encouraging your wife and your children. But when you take it so hard, so serious, yes, it's serious, but you take it so serious and, you know, even any little jesting, you get upset. Your wife will just be tiptoeing around you and will not come around you. Your children will just scatter. The Bible says, live joyfully. Live freely. Catch fun. When last did you go on a walk with your spouse? Even around your neighborhood. Let's just walk freely. If you don't do it now, you are busy. Nigerian situation, you are busy. Children, you are busy. Job. Okay, come, Dr. Dele. Azumi is my husband. Okay, we started like this during the time where, you know, remember all the heartaches you were having? Heart attack. AKA, I could not sleep. You chat and chat and chat and chat. Then there was no chatting. I remember those of us, that, my husband and I, there was one phone in my hostel. We had just seen each other off. I just entered my hostel. 30 minutes later, my husband is calling. Hey, I just remember something, something, something. Then after marriage, I could drop or what not? Because the rubber don't miss the road. There are serious issues. Then issues move apart. Then children, then projects, then what? Buhari for ACS. Then what? Emilokan, I don't know. So the gap is just widening. Today, by the time Tinubu has gone now, what has happened to your life and marriage? The children, they are going, gone. Then here he is, and I'm here. How will it be like to now, for us to now say we want to get back? Have lost touch. I don't know him. He doesn't know me. But we are still married. And we still have to do life together. But it now becomes much more difficult. And that's when you find, when you go to such houses, you find grandpa reading newspaper. And mommy has gone to UK. Somebody was telling me about, thank you, you can sit down. Telling me about an older couple. We're talking. This person is a friend, our daughter's in-laws. He said, one time, mommy traveled to US, and before she came back, daddy don't get stroke. He said, she came back and said, my husband, no, leave all of you children, go. I'm going to stay with my husband. But that would be a husband that you have built life together with, that you have lived joyfully with, that you are excited, not because you don't have problem, but you have decided to do life together. And there's affection, there's endearments. Don't get tired of it. Don't think that, I've been doing this and doing this. One of the things I realized about marriage, we said, till death do us, or me, I say, until Jesus comes, if he comes in my lifetime. So I found out that there's no vacation when it comes to my labor, the labor that I have to do towards my husband. There's no vacation. There's nothing like, hey, I've been doing it, I want to stop. No. It is a lifetime commitment of showing affection, of showing that I care, I love you, and I want you to know it. Do we understand? And it's like an oil that smoothens our relationship. It prevents a lot of friction. I tell you, if you start to do this and you continue to do it, you find that a lot of the things that you fight over, a lot of the things that are causing disagreements, you will look for them. They'll be like the Egyptian you see today. You will not see them tomorrow. And they are really Egyptians because they really cause a lot of trouble.
But the primary root is because we are not showing affection to each other. Start your day with a hug. Do you hug yourself? Hug your husband? Kiss each other? All those things, they are not meant only for nightlife. They are for every day. Do you stay with your wife in the kitchen when she's cooking? How many ladies you want your husband to stay with you in the kitchen when you are cooking? Can I see your hand? Not necessarily to just come. You just hang around. When I'm cooking, my husband stays there. And it becomes a point for us to, we gist, we talk. He's not doing anything. He's sitting down and we're talking, we're gisting. And no side talk. Some people say, when my husband enters the kitchen, he will eat all the chicken. Who are you making it for? What's a gem woman no uni? If he eats all the chicken before you feed, the eba will go and miss the chicken there. That's no trouble now. Let him know there, as you are eating it though, that's your portion. No trouble. And it becomes something that you joke about and you laugh. There's so much tension out there. But Bible says a good heart does good like what? Like medicine. And those are the things. Those are the things. So start your day. Hug yourself. Send text message. Go on a date. You don't have to necessarily go to an expensive place. Just go out. Walk around. That's what you used to do when it was just both of you. When you had your future ahead of you. Now you are doing the future. Do that also. Praise God. And of course, sex is part and parcel of romance. Sex is part and parcel of romance. Ladies, losing those knots. Losing what? Those knots. You know, sex starts in the brain for a woman. But if that knot is tight, nothing can unlock it. So losing those knots, all those ideas against sex, all the ideas that make you feel tired. And it's so funny. You know, what you are trying to hoard, somebody is ready to give it freely. And when you get to know, you want to have hypertension. You see somebody sending endearing messages to your husband. What happens to you? Your heart starts to skip. Eh? What? Kilo shale. Even let's go there. But you can give it freely. After all, you receive it. And you can give it. You are not longer a sister. You are a sister and a wife. Read through Proverbs, you find it is the woman that was initiating, making moves. Of course, you will say that she was an immoral woman, but making moves, preparing, and looking forward because she understands the place of sex in marriage. And there's no way we can talk about romance and leave out sex. Some of you, you want all the endearments, but you don't want sex as ladies. I used to be like that. Show me all the affection. Show me all the affection. But don't talk about sex. Well, God help me to lose the knot. In fact, the knots are lost. Amen. They are lost and lost forever. And I'm free. So you can be free too. Seek for help as a lady. If you have any issue about that, seek for help. That's why the Bible says older women should teach younger women. Don't just think that that's just me. It's me. No, it's not just you. Maybe some hang-ups, some misunderstandings, some abuse in the past, some this, some that. But you can be free. So that you can do life together with your husband. Okay, you say, my husband is not in Nigeria. My wife is not in Nigeria. Across the continents.
show love. I know they may not pick calls like we pick calls here. Send text message. I'm saying this for those who don't live together. Maybe your wife is in Lagos, or she's in Ibadan, or she's in Abuja, or in Canada, or wherever, or your husband. Don't think that because they are outside, then there's no end. See, show concern. Show endearment. Send messages. There was a time I read the book. This woman, when her husband is traveling, she'll be the one to package the husband's luggage. So in each shirt that the man was going to wear, she would have written some love notes and drop it. It may just be, "I love you, have a wonderful day," in the shirt. By the time the man puts his hand in his pocket to find that, what do you think will happen to such a man? Eh? "Of course, woman." Eh? Is that what he will do? Some of you that say, "Hey, my husband doesn't want to stay at home. He's always going out." Check yourself. Don't point fingers. Check yourself. Why does he not want to come to a house? A man will want to come to a house where there's affection and lots of affection. God bless us. Senior pastor is standing.
Hallelujah.